You don't have to preach to your audience. Getting them comfort, assurance that, hey, we're here.
Welcome to Brandwidth On Demand, your guide to rebooting radio.
No matter what happens or where things go or changes or whatever, listener first. To our working staff, your first responders too.
Brandwidth On Demand, rebooting radio with a different take on all radio can be. Now your guides through the mediamorphosis, David Martin, and author of the book Brandwidth, media branding coach, Kipper McGee.
Graham Skip Dillard is one of America's top radio executives. He's worked in Detroit, D.C., San Francisco, and recently wrapped up a 12-year run as ops manager for Emerson New York, where the legendary WBLS is currently one of the top-ranked stations in the nation. In addition to radio, Skip served as top 40 and urban managing editor to Billboard's Airplay Monitor. He's received impressive honors, including frequent appearances on Radio Inc.'s Top PDs in America list. He's also received the Proclamation of Service to New York State and New York City Hall, and chairs the Broadcast Subcommittee of the FCC's Advisory Committee for Diversity and Digital Empowerment. This past January 2021, Skip began his next challenge, transferring out of the day-to-day programming to take on a brand new role. He's VP of National and Community Partnerships for Hot 97 and WBLS. His complete bio is in the show notes, but to bottom line it, if you find the intersection of great radio and service to the community, well, you'll find our guy. Today's guest, Brandwidth On Demand, is proud to welcome Skip Dillard. Hey, Skip.
Wow, that's some introduction there.
Woo! You're some guy. Absolutely. So, Skip, I got to ask you. As a top-rated media leader in America's largest market, you've worked with some major talent, both network and in-house, and also both on-air and programming. So the question is, what are some of the key traits that you look for today when you're determining who tomorrow's gunners are going to be either on-air or in sales?
Well, it's interesting because it was a lot different when I was coming in. Naturally, you sat or made your way in with DJs you admired. Maybe you had someone that knew them. They gave an introduction. You know, for me, I was the one that got in doing overnights and weekends and Super Bowls and New Year's and Thanksgivings and all the shifts that the big jocks, wherever I've been from WOWI and Norfolk on, didn't want to work. And so now I look for people who are very pop culture oriented. I'm very quick to listen to somebody on a podcast that I hear about. I'm hearing possible talent on the new app Clubhouse that is currently only available for iPhone. But the next generation of talent could come from anywhere. And we've even found some that started as interns and then wound up working in the promotions. And especially one place I'm finding now is digital, a director of social media. Mm-hmm. Or someone who is actually just updating websites and getting creative station e-blast out. Sometimes these people, they have to be very catchy at great content, and they quickly learn what listeners engage with and what they don't. Mm-hmm. And so as a air talent, if they have a voice and natural ability to cut through, having the knowledge of what listeners care about and what they don't, that's a great asset that all of us did not have when we were starting out in my generation.
Yeah, well said, Skip. Well, you've been quoted many times, Skip, on the power of folks to invest in themselves and grow their own success. And what are some of the top investments you'd recommend people make today if they want to follow in your footsteps and become truly great at what they do?
You know, number one is be active on social media, but watch what you put on there. You will be graded,
yes,
by future employers. You know, I see stuff, and I've had to come and tell a few interns and even seasoned talent over the years, yeah, may want to watch what you're putting up and may want to watch what you say, because you never know when great opportunities are between you and a couple of people, and things you have done in the past and put on social can come back to haunt you. And even when you delete something, there's very often a digital footprint. You know, all we know is young people sit around all day and download pictures and memes and things. And next thing you know, it's like, whoa, I didn't know that this would become an issue. So that in itself, and my father always taught me something. He said, look, you're not going to get a pension like I did at AT&T and took an early retirement in my 50s and have been there 20 years. He said, so it's me incorporated. And I think he didn't really understand the radio business, but he always loved radio. And I think he understood that, hey, they're not giving out pensions these days. So
yeah,
you're going to have to develop your own. And at that time, branding was not a word that he would have used. But he always said, you have to develop yourself and your skill set and constantly evolve and change that skill set to move forward.
Makes perfect sense. Now, shifting gears, if you were going to eliminate one thing radio people are doing today, besides those social posts that you can't unpost, what's one thing that radio people can be doing today to improve their future performance and make themselves stronger?
I think something, and I have to credit, and I love giving him as an example because he's probably a big part of the reason I'm here today. I had many mentors. But one of the best air checking people I ever dealt with was a program director who is still in Greensboro, North Carolina today. And I think he's probably a format captain and five or six other things. But Brian Douglas at WJMH 102 Jams in Greensboro.
Oh, yeah.
And I was trying to find my voice. And I was listening to the DJs that were on the station that were full-time. I was part-time coming out of college. I was listening to some of the DJs across town. And he pulled me in the office one day and totally opened my whole world. He started putting in cassette air checks of Bill Lee back in his days on KFRC in San Francisco, KHJ, you know, 96X in Miami. He started having me listen to Walt Baby Love and Rick Dees. And so he would constantly play these air checks in the middle of tearing up my air check, by the way,
because he'd go too.
But what I understood was that there were many ways to get there, but everybody was very unique in style and presentation. And also, he was very careful to include a bunch of air checks like the KLWs and the 13Qs in Pittsburgh, where you really had no imaging. You were the imaging on KHJ until you went into a stop set. You were going about 8 seconds a record, every other record, and you had to be there and you had to know what you wanted to say and say it clearly and quickly because the PD would be in the studio probably writing up your pink slip. So I kind of learned how to be brief, and I think that's what enabled me to become a PD shortly in 2 years after I got to New Orleans. They made me PD of WYLD, which was the number one station in the market.
Oh, yeah.
And I think the reason was because I didn't really feel like I needed to talk long. While that wasn't the case with most talent, but you know, I'd heard an era when, again, you were the imaging, you were the brand of the station, and you acted like it, whether you were Keith Records, Landecker, Walt Baby Love, or any of the great talents, Hal Jackson. And it was just eye-opening to see that there was a way to do radio that was totally entertaining, but didn't obstruct the music.
Skip, in your new position, your focus is to find various ways to connect and solve problems for clients and partners and future clients, all while super serving that audience. And obviously, generating revenue has become a focus for smart programmers and hosts. Sales and programming, you know, often are at odds. What suggestions do you have to bridge that sales programming gap?
As a program director, your job is, of course, helping the GM protect the license. It's making sure the ratings are on point. And in order to get those ratings, a big factor that, you know, I've been taught by many over the years, from Tony Gray to Rick Cummings at MS. And that was not to clutter your station. And PDs can clutter too now. But, you know, making sure you communicate with the sales department and find solutions that won't clutter up your airwaves. Because, you know, sales is just, hey, client wants to do this. They're spending 50, 75 grand. Just give them whatever they want. Well, no, we're not going to do that. However, we can find some things that we think they'll love that won't involve killing our ratings or diluting listener satisfaction. So we're all in the sales business. And I think that program directors need to look at, if they aren't attending sales meetings on a regular basis, I think it's kind of crazy for PD to be too immersed in sales because you lose sight of the product and you wind up in meetings in addition to the meetings you already have. But a regular, at least monthly, if you can do it weekly, great. attending the sales meetings, listening to what your sales department thinks of what they're selling. I'd be surprised at a PD that wouldn't discover how much is being discussed about what's on their radio station that you may not really know about. And I'm telling you, data and information, it's power today. The more information, the more data you can absorb and have, the more it can help you use your gut and do your job. So for me, it is have a jock attend a sales meeting every once in a while. Have the jock kind of talk about what they're dealing with on air and ideas they have. And you'd be surprised at what some of your air talent could tell your salespeople and ideas they could come up with together. But I think we're all in the sales business. Radio has to do a better job of explaining the fact that we go beyond reach. We are engagement. And it's great to say, hey, you know, our .com can reach 8 million people, but how many are really hearing the message or seeing the message or engaged? Radio has always been about engagement. There is no better medium than radio and audio in general, whether it's streamed radio or podcasting.
And on that note, I mean, you hit a chord there. One of the most important things, it seems, that a radio station can do is connect with the communities they're trying to serve. And recently, you know, things have gotten ugly. Social unrest, we had the pandemic, all that kind of stuff. What are some of the things that you were doing at WBLS or even Hot 97 to connect with your various audience groups? And what are some of the takeaways for any radio station in any format that they can learn from what you've done?
Sure. Thankfully, it was kind of, I could say, a natural for BLS. 10% of the U.S. Black population is within the New York City metro, including northern New Jersey, southern Connecticut, and the city in proper and all the boroughs. So we had always had a mission. The station was Black-owned for almost 40 years before going into bankruptcy and being purchased by Emmis around 2014. So for us, it was a situation where we had always had a mandate. The founder of WBLS, Percy Ellis Sutton, was extremely active. He was in politics. He was borough president of New York City for a time and even thought about running for mayor before the first Black mayor of New York City, David Dinkins, did. So Percy Sutton also had ownership through Inner City Broadcasting, ICBC, of the Apollo Theater in Harlem. So there was always a community naturalness to anybody that was involved with the station. You would be in organizations. You would be at the big galas for fundraisers and foundations and working in the communities, going into the schools, out on the streets in the summer at the playgrounds with the kids, handing out T-shirts and talking about nonviolence and peace in the streets. That was a given. So I think for us, and Hot 97 did a spectacular job, I think, of just immediately allowing more time to tell people what was going on. I think the biggest challenge we had in every station was just getting people factual information when COVID hit. When we went remote work on March 13th of 2020, and we had to sit down and really map out everything. It was, well, who's going to come into work? Who's willing to come into work? Mask or no mask? We didn't know all those things. And so we really had to put our learning hat on, contact everyone from City Hall to health agencies to our health clients, and get as much factual information and actionable information as we could, because there were so many myths. Listeners were panicking. They didn't understand what was going on. They were hearing different things from Washington without going into politics. No one really understood. So I think our mission, and I pushed my staff, was we're going to help people understand because we're going to understand. And we're going to ask questions. We're going to get answers. And we're going to fact check, and give it to the listeners. And that's what we work to do. Off air, we did town halls. On air, we did several town halls. We did one, a joint Hot 97 BLS town hall right after the killing of George Floyd, because we had COVID going on. And then you had protests in the streets that were bringing thousands of people together that had a danger of further spreading COVID in a very, very tense, crazy environment. We have worked since on helping a small business, and I could go into a lot more. But what I will say for radio, it is you don't have to preach to your audience, give them information. You don't have to kill their love of music to do it. There's a lot you can say. Hey, it's on our Facebook page right now. Check it out. there's so many unique ways through eBlast and getting listeners information, getting them comfort, assurance that, hey, we're here. And something I tried to point out to our working staff was your first responders too.
Oh, yeah.
You're working late. You're spending an inordinate amount of time, whether you're at home working or you're taking the risk of running into the office to make sure everything is on point. I had some jocks that said, no, I'm coming in. I want to be in with the first responder. Well, you are one. So that's a given. So I was very proud of the way we really worked very hard. And we were in the midst of new ownership. We were in the midst of a new general manager, market president coming in. We put blinders on and just kept moving. I mean, we said, hey, no matter what happens or where things go or changes or whatever, listener first. And we've seen quite, I'd say, of course, we got a long way to go, but we've seen quite a rebound. And I credit some of that to the wonderful on-air and technical team and engineering that just worked around the clock, just doing everything they could to whether it was setting a jock up at home with remote setup or running into the station because they really wanted to feel the pulse of people that had to be out. So it was a very emotional time for me, but yet it showed me that radio is more relevant and needed and important than ever.
This is a legendary guy kipper, Skip Dillard. Hey, somebody you'd like to hear from, we'd love to hear from you. Email us, show@brandwithondemand.com. And you'll catch some previous episodes. We've got guests like power radio practitioner Valerie Geller, radio superstar turned Hollywood film producer Jeff Rowe, podcasting guru Steve Goldstein, and so many others. Check them out in the previous episodes.
Hey, we do appreciate all of you spreading the word about this podcast, Brandwidth On Demand, and invite you to rate us wherever you get your podcast. It helps others find us.
Coming up, Skip shares some things that he knows now that he really wishes he knew way back when.
Hi, this is Dave from Music Master Scheduling, here with another Music Master raving fan.
Hi, this is Jake Neiman with 96.7 CRAM. With Music Master, crafting a log is like driving a manumatic car. You can leave it in automatic or drive manually. Music Master has the tools and analysis to perfectly adjust rotations. I enjoy the ride, no matter how I drive, with Music Master.
Ready to become a Music Master raving fan? Get in touch at musicmaster.com/sales.
The stuff we know now,
we wish we'd known then. Brandwidth On Demand.
We are with, truly, one of the best and brightest, Skip Dillard from Emerson, New York. And Skip, what's the one thing that you know now that you really wish you'd known way back when you were first starting your career?
I would say that I often looked up to everyone I met as an expert, and I felt I wasn't. And I realized that very few of us in this business can truly be classified as an expert. So it took me a while to get confidence. And I think I would have written a letter to myself saying, don't get arrogant, but be confident in your ability to do this. Not just from your know-how, but also for a passion that I often didn't see in everybody else that even were way ahead of me in terms of where I wanted to be. So that probably would be the first thing that I would have written to myself, because I've always been a student of the industry. And when you're a student, it's a constant learning process. And that's everybody, whether you're a CEO, program director, or you're the overnight weekend fill-in.
Kipper, he's a legendary guy from the Big Apple, no kidding. Hey, thanks, Skip. Links to his stations, his latest projects, and more in the show notes. Just scroll down on your phone.
As always, our thanks to exec producer Cindy Huber. And coming up next...
Hi, this is Dave Van Dyke, president of Bridge Ratings. On the next Brandwidth On Demand, we're going to talk about the best ways for radio with better programming and better brand identity. Coming up next.
That's a wrap, Kipper. This time in 1 Minute Martinizing, we'll talk about subtract, delete, and refresh. It's in the show notes at brandwithondemand.com. I'm Dave Martin.
And I'm Kipper McGee. May all your brandwidth be wide.